Today's scripture reading is from John 1, verses 10 through 14, found on page 1109 in the Pew Bibles. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Before we begin, just I mentioned this last week, but tonight I'm going to take the message that I was planning for next Sunday. It's called Before and Behind, and it's an old year's, new year's message as we look back and we look ahead and see God with us. Because of pulpit supply issues and other things, there will not be an old year's or new year's service here. I can tell them about the invitation, can't I, Ron? Can I tell them about the invitation that we have?
I think it's in the bulletin.
Is it in the bulletin? Okay, good, perfect. Yeah, you're all invited to join the URC New Year's morning, as I recall. But for a variety of reasons, some of you may not be able to do that. And if you want to have a message and think about this transitional time of year to year, join us tonight, and we'll reflect on God's presence with us through the years. Yes. Yeah, don't come Thursday morning. Those things happen. Those things happen so easily. So thank you. Appreciate that. We know they're going to come. They're our best friends. They're going to be here on Christmas, and we really should get them a gift because we just know they're going to drop by. And so you buy a gift and you put it under the tree, and then you wait all day, Christmas Day, and your best friends don't show. Everything else is opened, and there under the tree is one lonely, wrapped gift waiting to be given to our best friends. And then the next day goes by, and the next. And then New Year's comes, and it's time to take down the tree, and so we just kind of put the gift off in the corner because, you know, it's a week after Christmas, but they'll drop by sometime soon. But, you know, they don't. And after a while, you say that gift doesn't look very tattered, is beginning to look tattered. So it goes up in the shelf in the closet, and it lays unattended and unclaimed. That's the picture we find in the passage we just read in John 1, a gift that has come, a gift that all we have to do is pick it up, take it, enjoy it, receive it. But it lays there unclaimed, and it sits in the corner, and then eventually it gets put up on a shelf in a closet, and we forget all about it. We're familiar with the Christmas story in Luke. We just sang, "Hark the herald angels sing." That's the Luke account of the shepherds in the field tending their flocks by night, and there was suddenly a band of angels and so forth. And we know well the account from Matthew. We've looked at Matthew 1 over the last 3 weeks, in fact. And then we could go on into Matthew 2. We know about how the Magi came and they found Jesus and they presented his parents with gifts. And then they fooled Herod and snuck away. And we know those accounts. I think most of us have heard the John 1 account as well, but it's not... It's his birth story, but it doesn't really talk about the birth of Jesus, except it does. It doesn't talk about angels or shepherds or virgin conceiving. It talks about Jesus coming to this world, and it's got profound depth and meaning. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only that came from the Father, full of grace and truth." But this is the gift that came, and in verse 11 we read, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." The unclaimed gift. And you pick up on that theme again and again. His own did not receive him. We pick it up in Bethlehem at the very beginning of Jesus' life, where we read there was no room for this family at the inn. We pick it up in Nazareth, his hometown, where the people of the town tried to grab him and throw him over a cliff to kill him. There was no room for Jesus in the religious establishment. The priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all rejected his prophetic word. And ultimately, there is no room for him even on the earth as he is lifted up onto a cross. And he dies. It's a theme that comes up again and again and again in the gospel story. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. You know, when we do not claim Jesus, we are letting the gift that was prepared for us sit in the corner and eventually get shoved up in the closet. Because Jesus himself is the gift of Christmas. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus himself, God himself, came into this world, broke through the barrier between the divine and the human, joined them together, and he brought good news. That message of Jesus is the gospel, the good news that for so many is unheard. It's broadcast through the entire world, and yet men and women stop their ears. They don't want to hear it. I just read this week, I'd read this before, but I was reminded that it's a Charlie Brown Christmas, that wonderful half hour. Charles Schulz, when he was asked to create a Christmas special for television, said he would do it on only one condition. And that one condition was that the gospel of Jesus Christ and his birth would clearly be presented. The network executives were leery and they weren't going to do it. And he said, well, then I'm not going to do it. And finally they relented and they said, okay, if you'll make a Charlie Brown Christmas special, we'll allow the gospel to be present. And so there's that famous scene where Linus, dragging his blanket, walks up onto the stage and says, I'll tell you the real meaning of Christmas. And he recites the Luke passage. There were shepherds in the fields and so forth. And it's been noted, and some of you have heard this before or seen this or noted this, but it's interesting that Linus, the character who is never once in any of the Charlie Brown cartoons pictured without his security blanket firmly in his hand, drops the blanket as he proclaims the gospel story, because he doesn't need the security of the blanket. He's got the security of the gift that is Jesus Christ. One Sunday morning, a preacher was heading to church, and he noticed a man across the street buying a newspaper, and he said he wanted to call out and say, come in here, we've got news too, but ours is good news, because he knew that that newspaper was going to be filled with all kinds of bad news, and that's still the case, isn't it? Yeah. In the news business, they say if it bleeds, it leads. They put all the bad news on the front, and they sensationalize the headlines, and it's death, and how many COVID deaths have we had this week, and it's, you know, it goes on and on. I read that there was an attempt several years ago to print a newspaper that would be filled with nothing but good news. And it was a financial failure because they couldn't sell the papers. People weren't attracted. People wanted to read about other people suffering for some reason. It is interesting that in a COVID world, someone actually made the idea of good news fantastically successful. I suspect many of you back in March, April, into May, I think, before he sold the franchise out. John, I can't pronounce his last name, came up with these weekly video clips entitled Some Good News, because for a period there was a time where we just desperately, desperately wanted to hear something positive happening in this world. Preacher was probably right that man wasn't ready to come in and claim the gift. But, you know, We have good news here. One of the sermons I was going to preach, actually tonight, talked about sharing our faith. And we have such a hard time doing that. We have such a hard time bringing up the name of Jesus and talking about with each other. We can do God talk all day long with each other because we share something here, right? But if we have a neighbor or a coworker who isn't Christian, it's so terribly hard to talk about the gift that we've received. And I understand that for a variety of reasons. I get that. But may I suggest two things? Because we have a gift that we have to offer, but if we don't present it, no one can ever pick it up. There are two things that you could do rather easily. The first, invite your friend to come with you to church this Friday morning. There's not going to be any preacher here. They're not going to get preached at. You're going to tell the good news. You're going to read from Luke. You're going to read from Matthew. You're going to read from Isaiah. You're going to read from John. You're going to sing the songs that talk about the good news that Jesus Christ is born. Yeah. It's Christmas. Yeah. Sometimes preachers talk about CEO Christians. C is Christmas. E is Easter, and O is only. And there's some truth to that. But you know what? It doesn't hurt to take the fact that on Christmas, people sense a desire. So often young parents, they want their children to come in and sing these songs and so forth. Take advantage of it and invite a friend to come. It's not our job to save these people. That's God's job and the Spirit's job. Our job is simply to get them in a place where they will hear the message. So invite a friend to Christmas or to Sunday morning or whatever. And the second is to try to develop, they call them elevator speeches, you know, the 2 or 3 minute, 1 to 2 minute quick little summary about what Jesus means to you in your life. I was in high school. I was floundering. I couldn't find any rootage. And then one day I went to a chapel at our school, Christian school, and four students from another Christian school came and gave their testimony and invited others to come in. And I resisted it. I just thought it was a whole bunch of psychological manipulation. But a couple weeks later, in quite an amazing way, I ended up at another high school up in the bleachers, where four of our students were telling their story and inviting people up. And that day, in the bleacher, I can even give you the date, it was about 10 o'clock on December 9, 1969, I accepted Jesus. And it literally felt like weight was being lifted off my shoulders. The sin and the purposelessness and all of that just fell away. It changed my life, and it's been better ever since. Now, that's about 90 seconds, maybe. I didn't time it exactly. But that is my story. Or if it's not about how you came to Jesus, it can be about a time that you sensed that Jesus was especially close. And it may be in the time of deepest hurt, when my wife died, for the first time I experienced the wonderful realization that I wasn't alone. Even though she wasn't there, Jesus was still with me, and I feel it so well. Just a short little something that says, Jesus has made a difference. We have a gift, but if we don't offer it, how can someone receive it? And I will tell you that the Christmas message cannot lose. God became man and dwelt among us. He lived a life without sin. He died to take away our sins. He rose from the dead on the third day, and he's going to come again and take us to himself. That's a story that never fails. Jesus himself is the gift. But when we don't receive Jesus, we also leave the power that can change and direct our lives and give us purpose and direction. We leave that power behind. Imagine that you had never heard of electricity. You had no idea that this amazing phantom something existed. And so every night you would go into the house and it would be dark and you would stumble around and you'd kick the end table and stub your toe and all because you didn't know that all you had to do was flip a switch and the power was there. For a lot of people, the potential for light in their life comes when they know Jesus and the power that comes from being joined with God. God's the dynamo, the generator, but we need to tap into that power. We read in John 1:3 that through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. This is the source of everything. The light is available to those who walk in darkness, but some don't know the switch is there. And so they walk in darkness when light is readily available. They don't receive the gift, and so they don't receive the power. Once the Ohio River froze over, and then spring came, and if you've ever lived near rivers, this is very common. The ice began to break up, but you got these massive ice jams, and they were afraid that these ice jams, in addition to causing flooding back behind them, could break loose in such a disastrous way that it would destroy bridges downstream. And they talked about dynamiting them. But someone said, you know, the forecast, we're supposed to have a couple of nice sunny days over the next week. And I think if we just wait a few days, the power of the sun will melt that ice and it will break free. And that's exactly what happened. And the power that comes from God is a little bit like that. It's not so much that we have this explosion of ability and, you know, ability to fight sin and stand against temptation and the ability to talk to people about Jesus and the ability to do wonderful things. It's like the sun that shines on us and the power slowly warms our heart. That power is available to all, but they have to claim the gift to get it. And then the last aspect is that if you don't claim the gift, you don't receive the power, but you also don't live in the presence. It's an unclaimed presence. We read in John 1 verse 9 that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This was intended for everyone. But not everyone receives the gift, and so not everyone knows the presence of Jesus in their lives. And there are reasons. Sometimes it's simply doubt. People hear the story, they've heard about Jesus, they've heard about that he died for our sins and that he rose again, and they say, well, number one, come on, you expect me that a baby was born of a virgin? There are limits. And then number two, you expect me to believe that someone who was dead was raised back to life? Come on. And so they doubt the story, and because they doubt the story, they don't receive the gift. And there are reasons that we may have doubt. If one of you were to come up to me in the vestibule as we're on our way out and say, Pastor Bill, come to my house at 3 this afternoon. I want to give you $1 million. I will admit that I would be filled with doubt. Number one, because I doubt that you really have $1 million. Well, someone here might, I don't know. But number two, if you actually had it, I'd really, really doubt that you'd just want to hand it to me. You know, it's a really extreme gift that you're talking about. It seems like more than could possibly be true. And I think people respond to the promise of God's grace and forgiveness unearned, and all you have to do is accept it and it is yours. And they say, that's just too easy. That's just too much. That's just too unbelievable. I mean, there are so many people in this world who, because of their own bent heart, they cannot forgive. They cannot forgive each other. They cannot forgive themselves. And so when you talk about a God who comes and says, I will forgive your sins, I will remember them no more, they say, like anybody can do that. Yeah. It is easy to doubt. Where was I reading? Was it in the Today Devotional? It may have been in the Today Devotional. If it was, then many of you will have read it, but pastor had a sermon and he preached that Christians might have doubts. And he got a phone call from one of his members the day after who said, Pastor, you're just wrong. Christians can't have any doubt about God. And As I read it, I thought, what an optimistic, utopian view of Christianity he has. I mean, David was a man after God's own heart, but David expresses doubt in the Psalms. Doubt is a human reality. And if we don't overcome the doubt, we may never receive the peace that comes from knowing that God is with us. Sometimes it's not doubt, it's simply distractions of this world that keep us from claiming the gift. We're busy, we're harried. In one way, I am a little bit thankful for this COVID Christmas, because it's changed all the rhythms. You know, Christmas was getting out on Black Friday, I guess, or became Black Thursday as more and more stores opened on Thanksgiving, and fighting the crowds and grabbing the hot gifts and trying to discern who we have to buy to, how much we need to spend, and putting up Christmas decorations inside the house and outside the house, and scheduling work parties and family parties, and it was go, and get the turkey in the oven or get the ham in the oven and cooking. And this year, we have been forced to slow down. And perhaps in that slowing down, actually remember a little bit more about why we celebrate Christmas. Distractions. And finally, sometimes it's simply neglect. When I was little, I had a fishbowl. A small little fishbowl had two or three goldfish in it. And I'd look at it once in a while, and they'd be swimming around, but I was seven, whatever. I'd forget to feed them. And 3 or 4 days later, the toilet would have to be flushed, because just simply through neglect, the fish had died. Problem is that when we neglect the presence of Jesus, it's not he who dies, it's us. I don't think there's anybody here. I hope there's nobody here right now. I mean, you are in church on a Sunday morning, right? I hope there's nobody here this morning who has never picked up the gift that God gave us, Jesus Christ. And I hope that all of you at some level or another are plugged into the power that comes from receiving this gift, as it strengthens us to live good, upright lives in obedience to God. And I truly hope that every one of us is deeply aware that we are never, ever apart from the presence of Jesus. He's with us, Emmanuel, God with us, not just then, but now. And I hope that because of the consequences of not picking up that gift, whether through doubt or distraction or neglect or whatever, we read in Matthew 13, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their own eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts in turn, and I would heal them." How much poorer we are when we shutter our ears and close our eyes to the gift that God gives. Here's the other side, John 1:12. "But to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." That is God's gift for you this morning. That is God's gift for you that you will celebrate Friday morning, and that is God's gift that will walk with you throughout the rest of your life. Shall we pray? Lord, you have offered this gift. Father, you sent your only begotten Son, who came willingly, because his will and your will never vary. And he came and he entered this world to stand in our place, to bear your wrath, to pay for our sins. And then, 40 days after his ascension, he sent the Spirit so that you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, empower us, forgive us, dwell in us, encourage us, give us your peace in the midst of the hardest times of life. Lord, thank you for this gift. And if, just if, there's anybody here who has calloused their heart and shuttered their ears and closed their eyes, we ask that you would work with power in their lives to rub that callous thin and off so that their hearts are opened and they will receive the same joy that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.